You're listening to Supervision with a Vision, where we discuss all things supervision. I'm your host, Sarah, professional counselor, marriage and family therapist, play therapist, eating disorder specialist, and cookie lover, with my co-host, Heather, marriage and family therapist, certified Together in Texas counselor, a Texas transplant from California, and outdoor adventurer. Hi, welcome to Supervision with a Vision. This week, Heather and I are talking about avoiding enabling our supervisees. This week, we read The 5 Pitfalls of Enabling Adult Children, published in Psychology Today, 2024. Are supervisees like adult children?
I think we can make a correlation.
Yeah. They're not our children.
Right, not our children.
But they are all adults.
Right.
And they're all learning something.
Right. And so they're growing.
Yeah.
Right.
The first point the article makes is that enabling actually hinders personal growth.
Yes. I think that for me, I can think of a story right off. Like, as you said that, I was like, oh, ta-da. In a situation when you have a supervisee and maybe they're struggling in a work environment or in a situation where they're just not taking the next step to take care of something.
Okay. Like what's the next?
Maybe they work with a team and they need to they're the only one on the team that thinks about something a certain way and they need to give more information.
Okay.
You know, and just being afraid to do it, not know what to say, not know what to do. I'm all for working through that problem, but I don't want to enable them to only see it to be kind of fixated and only do what the team wants to do because they don't want to.
Okay. You and I have at least talked about this. I don't know if it's been on the podcast before, but I worked with a doctor a long time ago, and I think this is kind of a slightly different perspective on what you're describing, but you're saying that it is reasonable that everyone has a learning curve.
Sure.
And so it might take someone a while to be ready, prepared, confident to take the next step.
Right.
And that certainly we can help facilitate that.
Sure.
This doctor, interesting, now that I'm thinking about it, she did that for me.
Okay.
But also in training people, she also kept them from getting too far ahead of themselves.
Right. Tripping over their own feet.
Right. So, yeah. But I think also in that way, still enabling them would hinder their personal growth. So what she did to help me was that I said, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm not ready for that. I don't know how to do this.
Right.
And she said, we're going to get you there.
Yeah. That's our goal.
Right. And she did. She said, step one, do this a lot until you feel comfortable. Then we will move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the plan we followed.
Right.
But with other people, maybe they had the opposite problem. They were overconfident and not ready. There were people in the same situation that I was in that she told them, no, it's not your turn yet.
Right. You're not doing this quite yet.
Yeah.
Right?
And in this multidisciplinary meeting, is not expected that you will speak.
Right.
And so she would tell them, no, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Sit and watch, listen. Mm-hmm. And at some point she would say, and now you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up.
Right.
Go for it. But in both ways, she wasn't enabling. She didn't say, okay, Sarah, you don't have to do that because it feels uncomfortable.
Right. Oh, you don't feel good about doing it. Okay. Let's just not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She said, we're going to get you there. And she also didn't enable by allowing other people to go maybe outside of what their capability was before they were ready.
Right.
She helped them get ready. So can you think of another time where you realized this person is not ready for something? And to allow them or to tell them that they are would also not be helping them to grow.
Yeah, I can think of another situation from it's been probably 10 years ago. one of my supervisees was at multiple locations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at one particular location, it was you are absolutely not ready for what they're asking you to do. Like you are very new but on paper probably looks really experienced because of multiple locations. But this is truly something that you would need a very experienced counselor to step in and take care of. But he was very sure of himself, very strong with he can handle it. And so it was a very complicated dance between Nope, you're not ready, not at all. And then he was getting a different message from
Oh, that is
site
really hard.
supervisor.
Yeah, that's
And
really
I was like,
tricky.
oh, this is,
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole different dynamic, right? That the message that you're sending isn't being supported or reinforced by maybe just not another person, but the job. The
Right, the job
job
itself.
necessitates, I need you to be able to see this many people in a week.
Right.
And you're the supervisor thinking, hey, you're not ready to see that many people per week. Or it necessitates you being able to handle this kind of high conflict situation, and maybe we need to ease you into that. That can be really hard.
It's tricky, for sure.
I feel like, I mean, maybe we need to think of that as another
As an, a
episode.
whole
How
episode, right?
to manage when you've got outside influences
That'd be a good one.
interacting with your supervision. The next point in our article is that supporting does not mean shielding someone.
Right. I think that's, I have gotten better about this, but I was really maybe too nurturing of my early supervisees. Like, no, don't hurt them. They're babies. They're new. But I think along the course of growing as a supervisor, I probably changed to the opposite side of that. Like, I will support and help you grow lots, but we have to take baby steps to get there. You have to climb the ladder, and I'll help you, but not going too fast and not going too slow. We're not going to stop.
Among the schools that I have taught for, one of the programs that I taught at, a counseling program, their model was that the very first semester or term that you took classes, one of the classes that you were required to take the very first time was a clinical experience class.
Oh, interesting.
So immediately
Throw
you
you in,
were right.
right?
You were in a situation where, and the expectation changed over time, but immediately you were expected to see some clients.
Wow.
And I think I had a hard time wrapping my head around that for the reason that you're describing, that maybe that felt like they weren't ready. I wanted to be more protective of them. But I can see from the other side that, I mean, how do you simulate that
Right.
or practice that without doing some of it? So
Makes sense.
it's
You
like
have to,
a tricky balance or
yeah.
like hard to conceptualize how you could do that for someone in a way that isn't some, at least some of the time, uncomfortable.
Right. And I think it's okay to align with your supervisees and help them walk the process. Sometimes things are new, right? Learning to do a note a different way, or learning how to make an abuse report, or learning how to handle a difficult client in session. I had a situation where a supervisee, all the sessions with a particular client were 40 minutes. Just couldn't make that stretch to the, we really kind of had to sit and talk about like what's going on that is causing this like gap, or how are we not diving deeper? Like what does the session look like? And kind of really pick it apart a little bit more, probably than I normally do talking about sessions. But when she talked about every session with this particular, like the max was 40 minutes. And I was like, oh,
I mean, I
okay.
think it's really impressive that your supervisee came to you with
Yeah, right.
right,
Like
that she fessed up.
I think it was a work situation,
Right.
but
Oh. Well, I mean, I'm
yeah.
saying I think that it speaks to the relationship and the trust that you
Yeah,
built,
maybe.
because I think some of mine would, when they feel like they're doing something wrong, they it's not comfortable for them to talk about it. But what did you do? So what did you determine was the issue that it just was hard to get the full hour?
I think that that client in particular was very, took up a lot of space in the room, and very came in with an agenda and kind of ran like, today I'm going to talk about X, Y, and Z. Here is X, here's Y, here's Z, and now I'm done. Goodbye. Like it was very much like not more of a sounding board relationship than a.
Well, so then I say this to supervisees, and it also sounds like another good topic maybe. I set tell them that one of their primary jobs as a counselor is that they manage their sessions. The
Yes.
length of time, what
Right.
happens, what's talked about. And that doesn't mean that they're the dictator
Right.
and that there's no flexibility, but that they help shape and guide.
Exactly.
Do you think that's theory based, or do you think that's just
It's probably theory based. I
Yeah.
think you and I align on that a
Yeah.
lot.
I mean, I don't know, I have to think about that. But I usually say that. And so I would be thinking, like, my thought process around why are sessions short every time would be partly that. How are you managing things? What's happening in the way that you're managing it, that it just is short every time? Supporting doesn't mean shielding. What about, have you ever been tempted to do things for your supervisees? Like speak to someone, take care of something?
I have offered before to speak to someone, especially if I am not the if they have a manager that's over them in a work situation, but not necessarily. Like it has to go pretty far for me to reach out that. You know what I mean? Like it has to go pretty big for me to be like, would it help you know, if you had support? And actually, ultimately, I think in both situations that I can think of, we decided no, that's not going to be helpful. So, you know, what could we?
Cool that you did, but also that your supervisee came to that conclusion. Really that helpful for you to do it for me. I had a supervisee, or not a supervisee, I had a supervisor that spoke to my employer.
Oh, that's annoying.
Well, totally not welcomed.
Oh, well, even worse.
And I was not aware of it until it after it happened.
Oops.
So maybe I think I still don't really understand why they made that decision, but maybe a new way to think about it would be that they thought they were supporting by shielding me.
Maybe. I mean,
It was not appreciated.
right. Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe sometimes it does feel like I imagine if this is a task that I really don't want to do and my supervisor offers to do it for me, okay, thanks. But
Like,
maybe sometimes
to blame
the
to.
supervisees wouldn't appreciate it.
Right. I can think of, as we were talking about this, like supporting doesn't mean shielding. I can think of clients. Like, I deal with a lot of teenage clients that maybe have some
Oh,
family
yes.
dynamics, and it's really hard sometimes for them to realize, like, yes, we are going to talk about this with your family, you know, and that's a.
I think I mean, you said teenagers, but I think I do it on both sides of that. That parents will call and say, or email, can you talk to my kid about?
Oh, yeah.
No.
No, actually, that's not what.
You and I can talk about how you could talk to your kid about that. Or the other way around. Could you tell my mom? No. But
But
you
you can,
can. And I can help you. Or we can talk about how you could do that, but am I going to do it for
Exactly.
you? No. I have supervisees that would really like me to do their paperwork or be responsible for their
Ooh,
paperwork for
yeah.
them, and paperwork related to our agreement with each other or their responsibility. I just said their responsibility towards the state, but that's how I feel about it, is that this is your license. You need to maintain it. You need to keep up with the requirements, with
Tracking your hours, getting your, yeah, all those.
But may like this, and enabling is keeping them from doing it themselves, or doing it is not really supportive. They need to do it on their own. But I'm not against being a part of that. I just don't want to do it completely for them.
We can collectively do it during your supervision time.
Or if they ask me a question about
Oh, yeah.
the requirements or the license or our board regulations, I mean, and I'm not holding back. It's not like I'm being facetious or
You're like,
not
let's
telling.
look that
But I think a lot of times I'll say, you'll have to look that up. I'm not sure. Or you'll have to look that up. I think that I know the answer, but it might have changed. And
That's actually a very, very good thing to say because it does change
it
a lot.
does change. But also, I'm not going to be there forever to answer those kinds of questions. And so they do need to know where to find the information
And skill
or.
building, really, because you have to sort through those documents.
I mean, I want them to appreciate that really you worked really hard for this. You need to keep up on that, keep up with the requirements because you will ultimately
Be responsible.
maintain this, not me.
That's
Our last point in the article is our task is empowering independence as a supervisor.
I think that I agree with that wholeheartedly. At the beginning, it's one way of what their independence looks like because it's very, I would say, more hand-holding, really close, like really close, watchful support. But as they finish up their time and their hours, it's still like, I want to, I want that for them, right?
Yeah.
You want them to launch into who they're going to be as a therapist.
That is definitely theory related. That's a previous episode of ours where we talked about theories of
Of
supervision.
supervision. Yep.
And a lot of them our constructivist models talk about that in the beginning, you are doing an awful lot of teaching,
Sure.
explaining, and the longer you go, the more hours and experience they gain, you're doing less teaching and explaining, and you're providing more support,
Right.
reflection, feedback versus so less didactic, more relational as you go. If I, do you think that other supervisors think about it that way? That our job as a supervisor is empowering independence. Well, earlier I said that the job of a counselor, a big piece of it is to manage a session.
Right.
So do you think other supervisors are thinking their task or what they're trying to do is empower independence in new counselors?
I would 100% hope so, that that's at least part of it. But I bet there are some out there that don't necessarily feel as strongly about it. Does that make
Yeah.
sense? Like, I am like, yes, number one task, glowing lights, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it sounds good. I don't think that necessarily people like a lot of people would argue.
Right.
I don't know if I think that people really
Like, think it
if they
through.
were right, well, if they were pushed to define what they're doing, I don't know that empowering independence is what they would come up with. I think some of them think I'm a supervisor. If we had like a little like, I don't know, a social media hashtag. I'm a supervisor because I think people, if they're being honest, sometimes they're doing it to make money.
That's sad. I mean, sure they do, right? Yeah. I mean,
I
plenty
think
of.
there are a lot of people where their business model is focused on having
How to
people they
build.
supervise. And so I don't think that that's necessarily a negative thing if they think I'm a supervisor because I make money that way. I think some people would say I'm a supervisor to teach.
Sure. Maybe they just love teaching and that's what
Yeah.
they.
Well, do you think that te if you thought I'm a supervisor because I'm a teacher, is that different than empowering
I
independence?
think it goes alongside because I think if
Okay.
you're teaching, I mean, if you just break down teaching as a whole, you are empowering a student, whatever they're learning, to go past what you're teaching.
Yeah. I think some people would say I'm a supervisor because something related to fostering
The field?
the field.
Okay.
Do you think, but I don't know that that's automatically
It's not automatically empowering independence.
right.
Yeah.
So maybe we you and I are kind of taking this as a given that it's about empowering independence,
I
but I
think.
don't know if other people always think that.
Yeah, but it's interesting that you and I think that, like, in the same
Yeah.
strength.
Well, because I think that I'm a supervisor because at least the couple of things that I threw out as suggestions, I don't think they're necessarily intrinsically bad.
No.
Well, I hate to say necessarily intrinsically bad.
Right.
I don't think that they're
No.
wrong or negative.
Right. They don't
I think
have.
they are reasons that people are supervisors.
Right. I think sometimes people even just become a supervisor because, well, people like I've been doing this for 15 years or something. You know what I mean? They're just like, well, I've done it for a long time. So people always ask me, so I might as well do it or
I don't
something.
know. I feel like those are, and also not a negative.
Right.
I feel like people who do it for that reason don't end up having very many
Right. Or
supervisees.
they don't enjoy it, right? They do it
Yeah.
maybe for the name, but they don't necessarily enjoy what
But
they're
maybe then they don't end up, yeah, they just
staying.
don't
Right.
end up doing it very often. And
Right.
it isn't a big chunk of what they do.
Right.
But maybe. We take for granted, or we assume that other people are empowering independence when maybe that isn't their perspective or
Yeah.
like within their what they envision.
Truthfully, I think that's probably true. Like that wasn't given a.
Yeah. So then I think even pushing ourselves past that, if this is a new idea,
Okay.
if someone's going to go, ooh, empowering independence. Is that kind of like in my paradigm of what I think I'm doing when I'm supervising? And maybe they're going to start considering that or thinking
Right.
about it. What is it that you do
That
that
empowers.
empowers independence? If
Right.
you already think I'm a teacher and I'm fostering
The
the
field.
profession
Right.
or this is a different way that I make money. If all those things are true and all of those things are good reasons to be a supervisor, but maybe now you're adding the idea that you are empowering independence. What do you do differently, or what do you add to what you're already doing?
Right. Maybe it just looks like you are doing more of a encouragement or a support to like launch a little bit more, or like caretake a little bit more at the beginning and, kind of do that dance differently. Or maybe it's more serious. I don't know. Maybe that puts more of a, oh, I can like focus more on that, or I can give that more attention.
I think this is kind of a fun part of supervision that I didn't anticipate when I started, was that I really enjoy where all of my former supervisees are now.
Oh yeah,
Like
absolutely.
where they're like off and doing things, and like when they change jobs, or like they begin to do something else within the field. I'm like, oh, cool.
I would
Or
agree. I wouldn't have seen that coming as like,
as a reward or part of the positive or something I enjoy out of that, but not something that gets emphasized, I guess, in training or in discussing being a supervisor. But I think that is related to empowering independence. The part of the reward is that I get to see and appreciate that everybody's out there.
Doing a different thing, not all the same thing.
Oh
Like
yeah.
they all
Yeah.
found their space. They're, yeah. I like that.
Imagine if you didn't, I mean, it's kind of almost hard for me to think about it like that. Imagine if you weren't at this point thinking that you were empowering independence. And so then you weren't getting the fun benefit of
It's
realizing they're all out
Right,
there
they're doing things.
counseling and doing things and enjoying it and being good at it, and I feel like you'd be missing something.
Be lost.
Oh, that makes me want to email everyone
Be
and
like, how are you? What are you
what's
doing
going
now?
on? That is a fun part to
That is
me,
a good part.
supervising. Well, thanks today for listening to Supervision with a Vision. Heather and I would love to hear about times that you maybe caught yourself enabling a supervisee, and also how you're thinking about empowering independence in the future. Thanks today for listening to Supervision with a Vision.